Hello, good morning, everybody. Hope you're all in your pajamas. And hopefully you saw our welcome screen that prompted you to set your motivation and have a think about all the reasons why we're here this morning, even though it's just a nice little short half an hour chat. We can still make it part of a path to enlightenment just by adjusting our attitude, just that little bit, giving it that kickoff to make it a bodhicitta motivation. Text that this practice is based on, we're going to do the speech blessing today. Text put together by Lama Zopa Mache called The Method to Transform a Suffering Life into Happiness, Including Enlightenment, with Blessing the Speech and Daily Mantras. The first part of that booklet is a glance meditation on the Lam Rim, and then in the middle of the booklet is the speech blessing. So we can set our motivation too. The really quick way to set our motivation is by just thinking we're here with an attitude of sincerity and intelligence. So that's the two wings of the bird kind of put into modern day language in a way. With that bodhicitta motivation, we're here to be able to benefit everybody. And so because the topic is the speech blessing, how to make our speech really powerful and meaningful, the reason why it's so important to be able to bless our speech is because the way that we most connect with other living beings is through our speech. So physically, you know, it's just really those really close to us that we connect physically. Mentally, luckily, a lot of that's private. Otherwise, we'd all be running screaming from the room. But it's with our speech that we communicate, that we make the strongest connection and the most continuous connection with others. So for that reason, because it affects others all the time, it's really important we bless our speech. So I'm sitting here in behind the Kengyur and Tangyur, which are the Buddha's teachings and the commentaries on the Buddha's teachings. So they're like a time machine, aren't they? These texts, the words in these texts connect us with the Buddha himself and then all of the great masters and yogis that came after him, all of their different readings and explanations and everything. And there they are, all literally in the palm of our hand. And just like when we're reading a good book, we're right there. It literally is a time machine. So the speech, really, really powerful. I've collected a few reasons, big reasons, why we need to bless our speech. So if you have a job or a family or an opinion, you need to bless your speech just so that it'll turn out well. One of the main reasons is so that any advice that you give will turn out well. So even if we have really sincere motivation, we may not give the right advice, or we might have all the best will in the world but just not be wise enough. So that our advice or our wish to help others doesn't backfire on us, it's really important that we bless our speech so the advice doesn't harm. Then also it means that even if things come out wrong, they're still understood the right way. I find that all the time. I'm often, the way things come out is quite blunt and it can often sound quite rude, but it's just because I'm really literal, but it can sound totally wrong as a way of being like a safety net for that, to make sure that even if things do come out a bit brutally, that the end result is a beneficial one and it's understood the right way. It also means if you bless your speech, it means that your speech has power. So people actually listen to you. And when you're saying things that are important, that it's important people notice or pay attention, that they actually do pay attention rather than just, you know, you can be saying the house is burning down, we should all go, and everyone's going, yeah, what's for dinner? So to make your speech have power. It's really good for when you're relying on your speech. So for big court cases coming up, for family conferences where big decisions have to be made or you really got to put your case, for job interviews. I don't know anyone who likes a job interview. And most of it is because we don't have confidence that we're going to come across the way that's going to make the proper effect that we want. So for a job interview, so our speech has power, so people notice what we need them to notice. It's also so that your prayers and practices bring results. So if we bless our speech, then all of the amazing words of the Buddha and the mantras and the prayers and everything like that has this incredible power behind them of enlightened speech. So it's kind of like they're supercharged with enlightened speech. So it really makes our prayers and practices have power and momentum and be able to bring those results. Also, as a class leader, every single time I will, before leading a class, I'll do my speech blessing just because it's such a big responsibility, isn't it? So you have to have all your bases covered. So Robin wants to know, is the speech blessing something that only comes over years of practice, or is it literally each time you do it? Well, we should be, if we talk, we should do the speech blessing every day. And so, of course, as we do it, we'll get more familiar with it. And that's why I wanted to introduce you to it, so that you're not intimidated by it, because it's really simple and it's really lovely practice. So I'll also tell you a little story now of why it's really important. So I think I should take the prize for the world's worst autocorrect. Because every now and again, there's some people that have my mobile number, and it's there for life and death matters. You know, if someone's died or been in a car accident or something's happened. And so every now and again, people who are really upset or feeling suicidal, they know they can text me. So one person, one of our long-term students did, feeling really, really terrible, and, you know, some terrible things had happened. And so I texted back and, you know, a little bit of a conversation, and it happened to be Tara Puja that night. So I said, okay, I'll dedicate for you in Puja. But what I wrote was, I'll defecate for you in Puja. And I had no idea until, thank goodness, the person wrote back going, ah, that just made my day. You know, that could have gone really, really badly. And I think for anybody else, perhaps they never would have come back to a Buddhist thing ever again. But thank goodness, because I blessed my speech, it actually did alleviate the situation and kind of short-circuit the whole depressive cycle. Anyway, it's like months later and we're still laughing about it. And now I am absolutely terrified. Whenever I do text messages, I just read and reread and reread. Anyway, the importance of blessing your speech. Now, the other story I wanted to share with you was how the speech blessing actually healed my speech quite a few years ago now, maybe two or three retreats of Lama Zopa Rinpoche before, so maybe 2015 or 14, whenever it is, I can't remember. But there was one retreat when Lama Zopa Rinpoche came out to Australia, and that's when he manifested a stroke, which was such an incredibly traumatic experience for everybody to go through. And so me and Jamie, the then director of Lungri Tumba Centre, were sitting at the back of the room, and as Rinpoche was manifesting the stroke, I mean, he did it in this incredible way, creative. So as he was losing his words, he'd kind of find the word that was next to it as a metaphor or onomatopoeic or something or other, so you could really get the gist of what he was saying. And it became almost like a jazz improvisation. It was extraordinary. And so everyone was really quite taken by how nuanced his teachings were, and they just thought that maybe he had toothache. So nobody noticed that he was actually right then and there manifesting a stroke. And as it went on, we started thinking something's happening, something's wrong. So a few of us at the back of the room were thinking this, and I just had this terrible fear of public speaking, and I couldn't say anything about it. And all I wanted to do was stand up and say, "There's something's happening, like serious, get an ambulance." But I couldn't do it, and neither could anybody else in the room, not even the long-term students. Everyone was quite oblivious to it. That's our grasping at permanence right there. So I couldn't speak up. And what happened psychologically was I came, you know, the retreat stopped. I came back to Brisbane on the plane, got back to Brisbane and got this incredible flu. The flu was so bad that my teeth were chattering. I actually bit my tongue and drew blood. And so I lost my voice and I completely lost it for about 10 days. And it took about a year for it to come back. So it was really croaky. There's a whole year worth of sound files where it's croaky. I couldn't lead Pooja. I couldn't get from more than halfway into one line and I'd lose my puff. So it was kind of this thing of like actually losing my voice because I lost my voice. It was so incredibly traumatic. And then about a year later, so, you know, there was this year of having no voice. And then Lama Zorob Rinpoche sent out this practice. And the next retreat that he led, he actually spent the whole time teaching on this practice. And so I immediately started doing the speech blessing and my voice came back. And I knew my voice had come back because I'd finally got some physio 8 months later, you know, being on the waiting list. And one of the things that she said was you have to always drink lots and lots and lots and lots of water to lubricate your voice box. But I knew my voice was healed because when I was leading Yungnaes and, you know, you don't drink for a whole 24 hours and then you do the next day and then again not the next day and so on. And all the way through leading the Yungnae, my voice got stronger and clearer and I could say sing the tune for one, two lines without running out of puff. And that's what did it. That's just what signed and sealed it, that this is the way to actually heal everything. Let's have a go at the screen share and I'll put it up. I hope that's given you an incentive for why to do this speech blessing. The speech blessing is actually called the Ali Kali, so it's not the hokey pokey. It's like the ABCs. It's like the ABCs of enlightenment. It's the DNA of the Buddha's speech altogether. And so just like we learn our ABCs for our secular speech, this is how to learn it for the enlightened speech of the Buddha. One of the things to remember is don't worry about the accent. Everybody gets really head up on, do I say it like this or say it like that? And it's just like, it doesn't really matter. We just try and do it nicely. It's like with English, you know, if you speak English with an Italian accent, it's quite different than if you speak English with a thick Scottish brogue or you speak Strine. You know, it all comes out differently, but it's got the meaning behind it. And as long as we just try and do it nicely, that'll do. Don't worry so much about, are we saying it exactly correctly or not? Slowly, slowly, that'll come. But that's really like a red herring to start worrying about it. So how we do the speech blessing is actually right at the very beginning, what we do is take refuge. So it's just a really short two-line refuge prayer. I take refuge in the three rare sublime ones. May I become a Buddha to benefit transmigratory beings. That's it in a nutshell, isn't it? Refuge in the three rare sublime ones, and by doing so, may I become a Buddha to benefit transmigratory beings. Then you dissolve your sense of self, that inherent sense of self, into emptiness. So you think you purify that sense of I into emptiness because it's empty in reality. Your wisdom realizing emptiness experiences great bliss. And then spontaneously you arise as the deity. So which deity? Whichever your main practice is, that one. And so I've found over the years, sometimes, you know, by running Lungri Tungpa Center day to day, I need to manifest Tara's energy. Other times it's Kurukula. Sometimes it's Chenrezig. So there'll kind of be a theme that'll go for several months. So it's arising as the deity that you have the permission to arise as, that you've had the initiation, or your main daily practice. If you don't have initiation, that's okay. You still dissolve that inherent sense of I, of self, into emptiness. Your wisdom realizing emptiness experiences great bliss. And then you arise as your best self with a body of light. And so it's that enlightened potential of body, speech, and mind that you're blessing, and that's what you're identifying with. So then a red R arises in your tongue. So that's the seed of enlightened speech. Then it transforms into a sliver of a moon disc on your tongue. So very, very radiant, very delicate, very strong, blissful sliver of moon on your tongue, and on that, a white syllable, om. So these are upright and made of light, and think of them as alive. And then you have the Ali Kali. So you have the vowels, and they are arranged clockwise. Then you have the consonants. So the vowels are white, the consonants are red. They're arranged anti-clockwise. So here on the picture, they're flat, but what you've got to do is imagine them standing up. And, you know, like gas flames kind of flicker and move. So all of these letters, they stand up. They're very vibrant and they're moving. It's like they're all dancing. They're on the moon disc on your tongue. Very bright, very delicate and clear. And then the third mantra garland is the mantra of dependent arising, and they're blue. And so they're around the outside. So those three mantra garlands there, you kind of feel them beautifully balanced on the moon disc on your tongue, and they radiate light in all directions. And the light rays hook back the power of enlightened speech. So the light rays go out, they hook back enlightened speech, and all of that light absorbs back into the mantras on your tongue, and they just glow brighter and brighter and brighter. So Rinpoche says they hook back the speech from beyond samsara, the speech of the Buddhas, perfect speech. They hook back the power of speech of those still within samsara as well, but like the great yogis and meditators, that they're such great practitioners that all of their prayers have the power to come true. So you hook back all of this enlightened power, and it makes the letters grow even brighter. And you hook them back also in the form of all of the insignia of auspiciousness. So the eight auspicious symbols and the eight precious things, seven precious things and the eight substances. So, you know, like the eight auspicious symbols. So here's just a few. I can't really hold very many up. But so you have all of these. You think that they're filling all of space, golden and radiant, three-dimensional. And, you know, like in Star Wars, when you have a flotilla of all of the spaceships and they're all just hovering there, and there's a huge amount of them. So you have spaceships of the auspicious symbols, and they're all just there hovering in space. And then they rain down into those syllables and absorb into them like raindrops into an ocean. So you get the idea. They're supercharged. Then we can recite them. So then the vowels, we'll recite it three times, nice and slow. And as you do, white light from those vowels and nectar, so the two things, light and nectar, flows through your whole body, becomes incredibly radiant, and it purifies all of the negative karma created with the body. Om a a I I u u ri ri li li a a o o ung a swaha. So you say it with me two more times. Om a a I I u u ri ri li li a a o o ung a swaha. Om a a I I u u ri ri li li a a o o ung a swaha. Then the consonants. So the red light and nectar flow through your whole body, purifying all the negative karma ever accumulated with the speech in this life and all previous lives. Om kaka gaga na, ta ta da da na, ta ta da da na, ta ta da da na, papa baba ma, yara lava, shaka saha ka swaha. Om kaka gaga na, ta ta da da na, ta ta da da na, ta ta da da na, papa baba ma, yara lava, shaka saha kya soha. Om kaka gaga na, ta ta da da na, ta ta da da na, ta ta da da na, papa baba ma, yara lava, shaka saha ka swaha. And then the mantra of dependent arising. So the blue letters, an incredibly rich, like bottle blue, light and nectar flow through your whole body, becomes incredibly radiant, purifying all negativities associated with the mind, with attitudes, with feelings, with incorrect views. Om Ye Dharma Hetu Prabhava, Hetun Tekan Tata Gato, Haya Vada Tekan Sayo, Niroda, Evam Vadi Maha Shramanaya Swaha. Om Ye Dharma Hetu Prabhava, Hetun Tekan Tata Gato, Haya Vada Tekan Sayo, Niroda, Evam Vadi Maha Shramanaya Swaha. Om Ye Dharma Hetu Prabhava, Hetun Tekan Tata Gato, Haya Vada Tekan Sayo, Niroda, Evam Vadi Maha Shramanaya Swaha. And so then the mantra garlands begin to absorb. So the blue mantra garland goes really, really bright and it absorbs into the red mantra garland. And that also has this burst of bright red and then absorbs into the white mantra garland. And that dissolves into brilliant white light absorbing into the Om, which melts into light and absorbs into that sliver of moon disc on your tongue. So that sliver of moon, that's your bodhicitta made manifest. So really feel it there. And then that dissolves into light, which dissolves into a kind of a pinkish red R. And that there on your tongue then dissolves into brilliant, blissful nectar and light that absorbs into your tongue, and your tongue becomes, your speech becomes pure Vajra speech. You can even imagine that there's a little white Vajra there in the center of your tongue, and your tongue becomes heavy with virtue. So think, I have perfected my speech. And there's dedication. So let's read this together. May my tongue sense base have all the courage of the ones gone to bliss. By the magnificence and power of my words, may all sentient beings be subdued. May all the meanings of whatever words I say be accomplished. The power of speech then from beyond samsara. Your speech becomes perfect. Whatever you recite is multiplied 10 million times. Or your speech, even gossiping, becomes the recitation of mantra. And the power of speech will not be taken away by eating black foods. So how amazing is that? So, yeah, Maureen, the ta-ta-da-da-na and tra-ta-da-da-na, all of that, that's to do with trying to get our accent right. So in the Tibetan, one of the lines, it's like ta-ta-da-da-na, and then the other one you say it with your tongue slightly curled, ta-ta-da-da-na. So it is a nuance that if you knew Tibetan, it would make sense. So you just do the best you can. Are there any other questions or comments or anything like that? Oh, Robin, you like the illustrations. Well, that's good. No, you know, compared to what's in your mind, they're a very poor substitute. Oh, so now I'm going to just run the poll for a moment. So the poll, the question is, which benefit are you most looking forward to with the speech blessing? So you can pick any that you like. Can you see the poll? Have you all allowed your polling pop-ups? You can pick as many options as you like that really resonate the most with you. If you can't see the poll, then what we've got is talking harmoniously with the kids. So my prayers have power. I've got a big court case, job interview, family conference coming up. So my constant talking to myself blesses the ears of others. Oh, hello, so I can surprise my partner and they see you with fresh eyes. Or so I'll have the courage of my convictions. So I kind of put in the courage of my convictions because that was really my, you know, personal learning from injuring my speech, from not being able to speak up, was just how ashamed I was of my fear of public speaking and that kind of that pull, that drag that you just can't do it. And I really just thought, okay, so is that how fickle I am, that I don't have the courage of my convictions that I can break through that and actually stand up for something? And I often see, even just in day-to-day life, when you see a video of someone standing up for someone being bullied on a bus or something, and I think, wow, there's no way I'd be able to do that. And that I'm ashamed of, and that's really something I want to deal with in this life. So for the last few years, that's been my kind of inner journey to be able to have the courage of my convictions and really speak up for what I am sincere about, regardless of whether I'm terrified or not. So it's lucky for you, because it means that here I am chatting with you online and leading classes and things, even though, you know, for the first 10 years it was just terror, blind terror the whole time. Anyway, let's see, what's the winner? The winner, just because I gave a little rave maybe, the winner... clearly, so I'll have courage of my convictions, 5 out of 6 people, and so my prayers have power. So that's really wonderful. What a very nice response to the poll. Hopefully, you'll be able to do the speech blessing every day. I hope that when you bought the ticket for this class, that in the confirmation email, there might have been a link. But if not, you can find it on the FPMT website store as a PDF to just download by donation. If you can't find it, then please just email Langbury Tumba Centre and I can send you out the link and you can download the PDF. What we're going to do next week is kind of following on from a theme. So here we are, we've learned how to bless our speech. Hopefully you'll blitz it all week and get really confident with it and, you know, say it out loud. You've got to bless your speech by actually using your speech. And so then next week, because our Dharma in Pyjamas is like two weeks on and 1 week off, next week we're going to have a look at how to sing your heart out at puja. So why puja is important, how to sing without coughing, and how to really get the most out of coming to a puja, because our pujas online have been really spectacular, quite surprisingly so, but really quite moving, and people have been really involved in them. But there's something you'll need to bring. You'll have to bring a straw, you know, a drinking straw. Can you remember? Write it down somewhere. Bring a straw. Now, if you can't go out and get a straw, plan B might be able to get, say, a piece of paper and just roll it up a little bit and sticky tape it together. So hopefully that's sufficiently piqued your interest. And thank you so much, everybody, for coming. Good morning. Go and have your morning coffee now. Oh, yeah, that was the last thing. So what I've managed to do when I bless my speech, I have my cup of coffee with me. As I'm blessing the speech, I'm sipping my coffee. So by the time that all the mantras have absorbed and then turned into the pink R and into the pink nectar that absorbs into your tongue, that's when the caffeine of the coffee starts coursing through my nervous system. So it's brilliant. It's all kind of associated together, and it supercharges me for the day. Anyway, enjoy. See you next week. Bye.